Jodur.
Roots, a 24-hour radio broadcast marathon on Palestinian ecology and solidarity.
يبث أيام 29 و 30 11 من الساعة 11 صباحا وحتى الساعة 11 مساء بتوقيت فلسطين.
Listen live on radio EE.net, radio Alhala and spatialradio.live.
جذور عمل إذاعي منتج بالتعاون مع راديو EE.net,
Berset University, راديو الحارة
وسبيشال راديو CSM لندن وديسارمينج ديزاين في معهد سامبرغ.
Welcome back. This is Spatial Radio streaming out of London. And this segment is called Bird Superhighways, a conversation with Sarah Beddington and Fadia Lubani about their new film, Fadia's Tree.
So maybe you can say why she connects, how you met Fadia.
Yes, very strange chance, serendipitous meeting. I was in Lebanon in 2005 for an arts conference. I'm a visual artist, really. And I was sitting in a cafe by the sea, and this young woman asked if she could speak to me, and she asked me if I was happy. And I said, well, it's a very big question. Why are you asking me this? And she said, well, I'm Palestinian, and I live in a refugee camp, but things are not so easy. And we spent the day together, and I flew back to London. And then they invited me, the family, Fadia and her family, to visit them in Burj al Barajni camp. And when I said, well, can I bring anything? What could I do? They said, make a film. And that was the beginning of this. But as a visual artist, I'm not really, I wasn't a documentary filmmaker until I began this journey with Fadia 15 years ago.
So 15 years this has been in the making?
Yes.
And in the last few years, it's really started to take on a bit more. Maybe tell us how you found the tree as well, because I don't think that was so straightforward.
No, it wasn't at all straightforward, because Fadia had obviously never been to Palestine. The tree, if it existed, was just south of the Lebanese border in the village of Sasa, which is Fadia's family village from where they were forcibly expelled in 1948. And so when I went to stay in the camp, Fadia made me this challenge of, she asked me, why don't you go to my village? You know, you've got your British passport. Why don't you go and find my tree? This is the thing that means so much to me. Fadia, can you hear me? Fadia?
Yes, I hear you.
Can you tell us why the tree is so important to you that you've never seen, but is so important?
Because yani, the tree is my roots. And all the time, my father told us about the tree. Also, this is tree, tooty tree, yani, it's have something special, that is it plant in the house, you know, it's family house, family qadar, telling stories surrounding it. You know, yani, all people know about the olive tree in Palestine. It's a sacred tree, but tooty tree is the family tree. And all the time my father telling the stories about when they sit under this tree. Also, this is tooty tree has many stories of women. All women in Saza, they are coming, sitting under it. If somebody want something to ask God, he go there. They have candles, love stories, marriage. Yeah, and it's like...
It's a sacred tree.
It's like... yes, exactly. Also, yani, it's so strong tree. Yani, all the time they told us about the roots of it. You know, yani, for that I feeling it's like yani, like my root there.
It's like your family there that remained, isn't it, for
yes,
you?
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yani all the time, this is my family. And there is my family. I have a family. I have a roots. I have stories, you know?
Yes, absolutely. But when I went off looking for it, we really only had the memories you'd inherited from your father and from relatives. And we had very little knowledge, really, of how to find the tree. Or I had very little knowledge. So I was very nervous that I wasn't going to find it. And I didn't find it the first time or the second time. But it was,
you know,
yeah.
Maybe because the tree has more history than geography. Maybe, you know, the geography, it's all the time they speak about its name, yani Tuti. But the geography, it's near my grandfather's house. My father, when he lived, he was 2 years. And the stories from his family, you know?
Mm. Yeah, one thing I'm really interested in is the tree, which is a mulberry tree.
Yes.
And so the mulberry tree has quite a lot of fruit on. And the film touches a lot on the birds. And of course, the birds, do the birds feed off the tree?
Yes, yes.
A thing? And if so, what birds and kind of what relationship do you have with those birds, Fadia? In the film, there's a scene where you're up on a high rise and I think they're homing pigeons that are being released. So I wondered if you could say and think more about the birds, because they feature so prominently throughout the film.
What is your feeling about birds, Fadia?
Freedom. Birds mean freedom. Fly. There is no border. No limited.
Mm.
But of course, during the film, there's a scene where the birds are being caught and they are then being tagged according to where they land. I mean, that was incredibly evocative to watch and to witness. And I mean, you must have been quite aware of that, Sarah, when you're recording that, of its impact.
Yes, I was very aware of that because I think the places where I filmed, there were a lot of refugees. The places in Palestine where I filmed the netting of the birds, refugees had been dispersed and were living in those areas, had been forced out of their villages in 48 and 67, and there was that connection. But there was also this sense that the birds are not just free, this sense of freedom. It's as soon as we start to mess with nature, that freedom gets lost, that it becomes a lot more complicated and divisive, and there are division. Yeah, that things become a lot more complicated, and the poor birds have to carry this metal bracelet with a unique number, and either Palestine or Israel. I mean, they do get a Palestinian passport to travel on, but it doesn't really help them in any way.
And I think it also, it's a strange thing because there is the study of birds and it's there to protect birds, to collect data, but actually there's something that those birds then have to carry around with them for the rest of their life. And it's, although I understand the birds symbolize freedom, the film is quite jarring like that, in that the birds, how free are they when they land and then when they're tagged, and there's, the parallels are really quite strong there, and I think that's where the film works incredibly well.
Well, I think we do cut at one point from the talking about the birds and how the Israeli separation wall has created this division, not just between people, but also between animals and between creatures that migrate. So And then we do cut to, that's perhaps the most radical cut in the film, we cut to checkpoint 300 and we see the daily journeys for Palestinians through the wall. And that is perhaps the most strongest link between the birds being netted and the humans being caged in this area.
Yeah, and during that scene, they're almost walking on top of each other. So there's another layer where you can walk along the metal framework that's holding up the cage that you have to walk through, and people are traversing across there. I mean, it's very, very strong. So Fadia, you're still with us, and hopefully you can hear me. I wondered whether you could say what it's like to work so closely with Sarah and your own relationship between each other.
Fadia, could you hear?
I didn't hear him. Yeah, it's a clear no. Question. Please repeat.
Teddy was asking how it's been for you to work with me, and how what was the second bit? How we get on with each other? I think.
A friendship, yani we feel, yani all the time we speak about that, Sarah. We feel that we know each other before we meet, and there is something like, yani let us meeting and to speak about the yani, yani there is a friendship. We feel it so we closed, and the tree mean it is true. It's my. Three, but you know, when we speak about it, we feel that we the both have meaning of this tree.
Yeah, I think this tree is also very important because it was a tree for a female saint, and that saint was Sitna Nafisa, and Sitna Nafisa was known as an educator. And Fadia is this amazing educator. She's created this kindergarten in the camp 30 years ago, and she's just kept building on it. So now that it has a library, she's created a sports ground for older children, and also she's created her own theatre in the camp now. So she's forever developing something. And somehow in my mind, this saint who supposedly passed through Palestine on her way between Arab Saudi and she was the granddaughter of the prophet, and she settled in Egypt. But on her way, she stopped in Palestine. And this tree, this mulberry tree, which is really a very ancient tree, is potentially at least 1,000 years old, has become this sacred tree where the Palestinian women of the village would come and ask for their wishes to be met. So it had that resonance, and also that it was just next to the family house of the Lubani family, Fadia's family. So it had these multi-layered meanings and such a strong presence that, as I'm someone who grew up in the countryside, I also resonate with certain trees and mythology and folk tales. And somehow your story and your connection to this place where you've never been, but you feel it so strongly, is, I was just so moved by that.
Yes, exactly. Yani, yes, you are right. This is, there is something about how I feel about this tree and about this place. And as you say, yani, all the time there is educated and develop, and many messages we must telling, and many stories we must telling. And this is, yani, let me also to have a theater woman to telling our story. And the idea also for the theater woman, I take the branch of Tuti symbol for it, because woman come and telling their stories under the tree. And this is helping so much.
Ah, so this is what you're doing in the camp now. So you're... It's almost like you've moved the tree. The tree is growing in the camp, and you've brought the women to the tree to tell their stories.
Exactly, exactly.
That's very beautiful.
Under the tree, yes.
Mm. And can you tell us something about those stories that you've been writing with the women in the camp?
There is the first one. I write it in Corona. You know, all people speaks what happened in Corona in the world. No one speaks about the camp. What happened, yani, during Corona? What is the life in the camp during Corona? And also I have a friend, you know her, Sophie. She is a Danish lady. And we beginning to bring the ladies to speak what they doing during the Corona. One of the women, she is a mother. She told me that she has a very small room, and she's drawing 2-3 in the wall, and her children playing on it. You know, in my memories, Tuti in Palestine, how is it was in nature. And when my aunt coming to the camp, she plant Tuti, and how his neighbors from the window, they speak with each other. Now, in this woman, she haven't anything, only the wall. And to draw a tutti on the wall. And from here, the story is beginning, what happened in camp during the Corona.
Amazing.
Another story, play I write, it's about real stories of women. And in the beginning, I the tutti tree and the branches, every woman bring her branches and put it in a tutti tree and sit down, and she beginning to speak her stories about love, about pain, about suffering, about traveling, you know, all real stories. But all these stories, yani, it's a human stories, it be under tutti tree.
Oh, that's very beautiful.
Thank you for sharing that. And obviously, we're part of Narrative Environments here broadcasting, so we're very interested in storytelling. And also, this project has involved a lot of women. And I think the origins of this project was part of a women's film collaborative. Or maybe you could say a little bit more about that, Sarah.
Yes, I think the fortunes of this film changed after in 2006, I think I started filming in the camp, but I knew I didn't want to make another film about the refugee camps, of which there are many. So I then managed to get an artist's residency in Jerusalem with something called Art School Palestine. And it was there that I met with an ornithologist, and it was there that I made this connection with the migrating birds and the movement of the birds, as opposed to the stasis, the impossibility of movement for those in the camp in Lebanon. But and the paths of the birds for me connected the people who've been separated and fragmented, as well as the landscape that's been divided. But I had this material and I'd shot all this material, but then I had a chance meeting with a wonderful woman called Mia Bays, who at the time was the director of Bird's Eye View Films in London, which is creates a pathway for films by women and really tries to redress the number of women in the film industry, in all parts of the film industry, and as well as non-binary people within the film industry. And so I had the chance to be on this workshop where I met my producer, Susan Simnett, who has been the most extraordinary support and has seen this project through to the end and really believed in it. And then we've had a woman editor, Ariadna Fatio-Vilas, who has done an extraordinary job sifting through 400 hours of footage with me. And together we've over more than 2 years, 2.5 years, we have spent together working every day to craft this final film. So there have been, a lot of women involved in the making of this film. And the star is, of course, a woman.
And so what's the plan now in terms of going forward and possibly doing even more projects? I mean, is there any more ideas about how you might collaborate again and possibly be back out there? I mean, for us, it's a lot easier to travel.
Well, me and Fadia know that we're always going to be working on projects together now, I think. And one of those is a series of cooking programs that I would really like to do with her, because she's an extraordinary cook and she's very funny when she's cooking and she has all these stories and she makes the most delicious Palestinian food. So I love food, she loves food, and we would really like to make this series together, but also from other women in the camp. There's something about, you know, the holding of the memory of food is also another form of roots, but it's also that sense of having, of the grandparents having grown that food, of everything coming from that connectivity with land and place is also through food. So I think that is definitely a project we'd like to develop together in the future. And we also hope we can bring Fadia and the Women of the Camp Theatre to England at some point to tour, because I think the stories Fadia writes are very powerful and dark and funny and all of those things that, I think translate universally.
Also, Sarah, I have a good news. I didn't tell you that the book about my stories, it will be published soon. Maybe I have 4 or 5 stories in it.
Alf Mabrok. No, you didn't tell me.
Yes, because all the time we speak about the film and I forget. Mm.
Okay, that's very exciting.
Well, congratulations on that. And so that book is going to be coming out in Palestine. Is it going to be? Or is it going to be produced in Lebanon? How will that come here? Is there any plans for that?
Fadia, I think we will need to get an English translation done to bring it here. But do you know the title of the book yet?
My book?
Yes.
I don't know what is he chose. I write many names and I don't know what is the name he chose. My teacher, because this is like, academy, when I finish with our group, we make a box and everyone have his stories, 4 or 5 stories in it. Mm. And we put many titles, but he didn't until now told us. I write 10 stories. He want to choose between 4 and 5 and the names. He didn't. It's like a surprise.
Okay.
What he chose and what is the title.
Very good.
Fadia, I wanted to ask how you... first of all, I'm sorry that you weren't at the film festival, and I really hope that you got the message from the audience that evening and the appreciation and the generosity of what you gave to the film, but also your energy. I think people are very in tune with your energy There were numerous scenes where you're incredibly smiley and generous, and I really hope, and I ask you if you kind of understood the magnitude of that from the audience that evening. It's very special, and when everybody got up and applauded at the end, it was impromptu and it was very heartfelt, and I wondered how you felt about that.
I feel so happy, and happy with lighting in my eyes, because you know it's very important to me that to telling our story, and I am so happy that my story entered to every heart. You know, from heart to heart, there is no border, and it is make me so happy. There is no borders from my heart to the others, and I feel so. What I say, yani, about hearts and feeling, there is no borders, and very important for me.
Sarah, how was it for you on that evening? I mean, when we read, you read out you played a sound note, and that I don't know if you were expecting that. I'm not sure the audience was expecting that. Certainly, the person that you're interviewing that night didn't expect that. So, yeah.
Well, because UK visa services have done their usual thing and not delivered, very sadly, Fadia was not with us in London. At the Curzon Soho, but she'd recorded a message, a beautiful message, which was about our friendship, about her sense of loss at not being there, but her happiness that everybody else was there. And it really was very beautiful. And then someone from the audience cried out, well, how can we send a message back to Fadia? And we said we'll work it out, and we had the Q&A after the screening, and then we turned to the audience and said, what do you think? How would you like to send a message to Fadia? And they all rose up from their seats as one and started to clap without any direction, and it was really very moving and very, very beautiful. So enormous respect for you, Fadia, in the room that evening. It really, you reached the hearts of people from every walk of life, from many different heritages. People were coming up to me afterwards to say, this film needs to be shown in Taiwan. It needs to be in Hong Kong. It needs to be shown in different places in the world. So you touched the hearts of so many, Fadia.
And this is make me so happy that, as we say, all the hearts sometimes are my passports.
That's very beautiful. Well, let's hope that the situation for the refugees can improve in the next years. Let's just hope for this.
Yes,
freedom.
Hope.
We hope for freedom.
All the time we have the hope.
We hope for freedom, justice, and equality for Palestine. This is what we hope for.
Yes. Inshallah. And we will. We will.
Well, thank you both for saying a little bit more about the emotion of that night. And also, during the film, you can see there's a relationship between you both. One of you is on film throughout, Fadia, that's obviously you, and then Sarah, you do feature. We never see you, but it's your presence is also there, and there's that, you can hear you asking questions, and I think it was really nice that you left that in. There was quite a lot to go through. There was a lot of material.
Yeah, because not as well as all the visual material to go through, I also recorded most of the phone calls I had with Fadia that were about finding the tree, that were about many different things. So my representation in the film is through the conversations I have with Fadia on the phone. And somehow this connectivity between us through the airwaves was sort of reinforcing that of the migrating birds, for whom the Eastern Mediterranean region is one of the two biggest superhighways for birds in the world. And I think it was just making all these layers of connections that to go against the illogic of borders and checkpoints and things that divide and separate. And I think we're both very passionate about that, aren't we, Fadia? I think we're both on the same page about trying to think beyond and imagining something, some other world. Fadia, are you with us?
Yes, I hear.
You agree? You might not agree.
No, I agree, yes. You know, of course, yes. Yes.
I think we have to say goodbye now to everyone. So I think we say Masalama Lail Kul.
Okay, and last word I want to say, we have a meeting under our trees.
In historic Palestine, we come together.
Of course, inshallah, of course, inshallah.
Thank you
so much. Thank you
Teddy, thank you.
Yes, thank you for coming in, Sarah, that's fantastic, and it's great to have Fadia online as well.